Well, I have one very short scripture reading to share with you for our thoughts this evening. I was saying to Jo, my wife, as I was driving up, I said, I've been labouring over a message to share with you, and it's not quite sat right in my mind, so what you've got is a slightly different message to the one I prepared. Please don't say to me afterwards, we wish you had the one you spent hours preparing. If you stick with what I'm providing tonight, I trust it will be a blessing to you. But I want to read two verses from John chapter 11, please. The Gospel of John. John says, many other things did Jesus Christ in the presence of his disciples, which are not written. He said, but these have been written that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. So here's some words that John recorded for us, that we might know Jesus Christ. And John 11, I want to read verses 25 and 26. We will refer to the whole account, but we could quite happily read 45 verses or so to get this story. But I'm sure you're familiar with it, and if not, we will take you through some of the detail in a few minutes' time. But John 11, verse 25, Jesus is talking to a lady called Martha, a sister called Mary, and there's a brother called Lazarus. But Jesus Christ says this to Martha, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? Always powerful when Jesus Christ asks a question. He says to Martha, do you believe this? And really, it's a question that we will consider together in just a few minutes' time. But let's give you a chance to stretch your legs again. I was out singing. I haven't sung with a choir for a few years, but I was out singing with a choir last night. And you know, we were singing, well, it was an unusual program. There was a ladies' choir who were singing show songs. And then there was a trio singing sea shanties. And then there were us singing about Jesus Christ and the gospel. And it's lovely to hear you singing these sort of words tonight as well. 676, talking about this story, it says, there is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fall, till into the fold of the peace of God he has gathered us all. You know, when I was thinking, do I share the message that I laboured over, or do I share something different, I looked at the hymns tonight and I thought, these hymns are absolutely fine. The Lord knew I was going to change my mind, and the Lord knew I was going to read about Lazarus and Mary and Martha. So let's sing about the love of Christ. See how he loved him. There is no love like the love. If you're not familiar with this story, and I better assume that you're not, if you are, then you'll forgive my introduction. But here we have a house in Bethany. There are three siblings who live there, two sisters and a brother. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. Now, we're not told, as far as I'm aware, at any point in the Bible, how old these three siblings were. But I would take it that they were probably what we would call middle-aged, or just a little bit younger. Certainly in the accounts in John chapter 11, as they're in the house, Mary and Martha are perplexed. Their brother is unwell. And we see, if we were to read down through this chapter 11, we would see that he soon dies. And it would be apparent from reading this that they weren't really expecting it to happen just yet. This was an untimely death through the sickness that he's suffered. It's also just worth setting the scene. We're so used to folks being able to survive on benefits, but it was very likely that Lazarus was the breadwinner for the house. Perhaps his sisters did work in some way, but he would have had a prominent role to care for his sisters, and they would have almost certainly been reliant on him quite a bit for the needs of that household. And we are told that Jesus Christ had a very close relationship with this family. He was often there. He was welcome in their home. And we see
that he loved the three of them and felt a great joy and a great comfort as he would be there in their home. I don't know quite if this is why this verse is, or this passage is resonating with me. I have responsibility. I'm only playing, but I have a part to play in a funeral this coming week of a dear lady who was at the church I was at for a number of years. And it's going to be a privilege just to play a small part in that service. And it's lovely as a Christian to be part of a Christian funeral, where we look and see a life that's been lived with faith in the Lord Jesus. And we as Christians, as Jesus Christ would say to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And it's a great comfort to me to be amongst Christians who look and realize that although a body is laid in the ground, actually the soul is eternal and the soul is with Christ, where he promised. Sadly, a few months ago, I was at a funeral of the son of a colleague of mine. The colleagues I'd worked with for 5 or 6 years early on in my career, and then their son had looked for an IT work placement from college, and so he'd come and worked with me for a year as well. But this young man, very tragically, passed into eternity in his early 20s. And I went to a mass at a Roman Catholic church, and the grieving family had no help, no hope for the future. Oh, the minister said some words and prayed, but there was no hope and no certainty in the hearts of those that were there. And so we see this scene, Mary and Martha, and they are grieving the loss of their brother. And we are all, I'm sure, familiar with that grief and that sadness. And here they are, and they have great confidence that Jesus Christ could change that situation. They send for him. They ask him to come. And when he doesn't arrive, they say to him, "If you had been here, our brother would not have died." That's there in verse 21 of chapter 11. Lord, if you had been here, our situation would have been different. They had confidence that Jesus Christ could change their circumstances. I'm sort of going to give you a little bit of two different messages, I guess, this afternoon now. Because a week or so ago, I was just back from the Bath and West show. Some of you might have visited the Bath and West show. At least one other person in the room spent quite a considerable bit of time over there for over 2 or 3 days. And several folks were willing to come in and speak to us about God, and several people were willing to say outside the tent that they believed in God. They believed there was a God. But at least one person went past and said, "If it's to do with Jesus, I want nothing to do with it." Almost like they were happy to think about a God. But if it's Jesus Christ, well, they weren't at all interested in what we have to say. But here is a lady, Martha, who looks and says, "Well, Jesus, if you had been here, you would have made a difference. Things wouldn't be as they are now. Our situation would be so different." And I don't know many of you very well, but perhaps there have been times in your life where you look and think, "Well, why did those things happen? Why did those difficulties come?" As we read this chapter, we can't question Mary and Martha's faith, can we? Martha looks, and we didn't read these words, but she says here in verse 24, "I know that my brother will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She has great faith in God. But yet she still looks and they say, Lord, if you had been here, we wouldn't be where we are now. And so many people that we see, and perhaps you have heartache and you just wonder, where was God at that point where I thought he would make things different? As I've been looking at this chapter and as I've been considering it, I realize that this chapter is a pointer that God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God keeps his promises. And here we have great certainty, a confession by Martha, I know that my brother will live again. But Jesus Christ will say these words, and we read them, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ could say that in him is something that no other God that the world might consider is true. In Jesus Christ there is life eternal. He would say these words himself, in this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ that God has sent. Jesus could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's what sets Christianity apart. Whatever other religion people might follow that presents a god or gods in their various guises and forms, Christianity presents a man, Christ Jesus, the one who came to reconcile man to God. God was manifest in the flesh. And so, Christianity presents Jesus Christ, the one who could say, I am the resurrection and the life. So we read these words. We've got to remember there's a grieving family there. They're looking at one that they've lost. Jesus Christ could say, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This isn't then talking, is it, about earthly life? Lazarus has passed into eternity at this point. Jesus Christ could say there is that life that follows. There is eternal life. Martha believed that there would be a resurrection and there would be those who would live again. And it's interesting as we speak to people that most people would confess that they have some thought about the hereafter. Most people will have some thought, perhaps there is more to life. Very few sort of look and say, well, death is the end. And we could read back in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. The fact that we consider the future, the fact that we plan, is something because God has made us in his image and God has given us that understanding there is more. There is eternity ahead. And so Martha looks. And in this harrowing situation for her and her sister, she says, I believe. I know that there is something more. I know that my brother will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Oh, what faith this lady had. She believed that Jesus Christ could make a difference. And we might look and say, well, why did, if Jesus Christ loved this family so much, why did he allow it to happen? When we go back to the start of this chapter, it starts by telling us that Lazarus was sick. It tells us that Mary and Martha sent in verse 3 to Jesus a message, Lord, the one you love is sick. And he says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And it tells us there in verse 6 of John 11 that although that Jesus Christ heard the need, he heard the distress, he stayed 2 days in the same place. Why? Perhaps at times you've asked, why? Why me, Lord? Why now? I'm sure the sisters did in their grief. We sent a message to Christ. Why has he not come yet? Surely it doesn't take him that long to arrive. And yet he stays for 2 days where he is. This is for the glory of God, he would say. And I just wonder if sometimes, and I know as I speak to different Christians in different places, so often they will tell me of experiences that they went through and how that years later perhaps they were able to help somebody else. Perhaps they were able to offer encouragement or a word in season. But yet at the time they said, Lord, why me? Why? And we don't always have the answers, do we? I'm sure I've quoted my favourite bit of poetry here before, and I can't bring it all to mind, but the end of it says, not till a loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will he unveil a pattern, reveal the reason why the dark threads were as needful in the master's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. Now, it's almost half of it. I ought to have started at the beginning, really, didn't I? But it's called The Weaving, and if you don't know it, do go and have a look. But perhaps you're here tonight and you're just looking at a situation and you say, why me? Why now? There's 2 or 3 things we take from this chapter tonight. We take the fact that Christ did love Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, and yet Lazarus still died. God's ways are not our ways. Neither are God's thoughts our thoughts. And sometimes things happen that we cannot explain. But I know that I've got a sovereign God who cares. That's the second thing we take. God cares. We could turn to what is the shortest verse in our New Testament and in the Bible in English, John 11, verse 35. It says, Jesus wept. And they look and they say, behold how he loved him. Christ's love for us is just the same. And yet that didn't mean that Mary and Martha didn't endure this. It didn't mean that Lazarus didn't die. Christ loved him. He wept. And yet this situation still unfolded itself. But we learn that through it all that God is faithful. And that there is hope. And that there is something ahead that lies ahead of each one of us. Tonight we can have that certainty that we will be with him for all eternity. Martha believed there would be a resurrection. And Jesus Christ could say, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He says this to Martha. We read it earlier. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You might look and you might scratch your head and you'd say, well, they were there, they were mourning. That there had been death. What can this mean? Ahead of all of us, we have eternity. We have a God who loves you and a God who loves me. A God who is high and holy and desires a relationship with each of us as individuals. Jesus Christ, the one who is speaking in our reading this evening, as I said, would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father but by me. And he would demonstrate his love towards us. Christ demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What hope! What anticipation we have! So this isn't talking about a physical death. This is talking about our souls. Humans were created in the image of God. God breathed into man a living soul, a breath, and man became a living soul. That's what it says in Genesis very accurately. I know we've got folks who deal with livestock here in the congregation this evening. And animals are wonderful. We were having a discussion over lunch about animals that were trained in all sorts of ways to do different things, particularly in wartime. Pigeons and rats and whales and dolphins and all these different things that can be trained. Those of us who are familiar with domestic animals or animals on the farmyard, we see their personalities, we see their differences, we see their understanding. But yet man is distinct from the rest of creation. God has made man separate. God has made us in his own image. Jesus Christ would say that we can be certain of eternity with him. He gives men and women the choice today. And sadly, at the Bath and West show, I witnessed so many who said, no, thank you. Don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. And sadly, the Bible tells me that those who want nothing to do with him during time will have nothing to do with him in eternity. After this life is ended, those who said no will be away from him forever. What a dreadful prospect. But for us who love him, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus would say to Martha, do you believe this? It's a very pertinent question, isn't it? Whoever lives, believes in me, shall never die. And I could well ask you the same question. I could ask myself the same question. Do you believe that? You know, if you believe that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, you can say with assurance as I can, I believe that. How many have gone before, knowing the love of Christ, knowing that certainty, that hope, that assurance? Because ultimately, this chapter brings to us that God is faithful, God is able. Without hope in him, we would have nothing. But we have a God who keeps his promises. To prove that he had power, that he had authority, he raises Lazarus from the dead. He goes to the tomb. Down towards verse 39, we read that he asked them to take away the stone from the cave. The sisters start to worry. He's been dead 4 days now, Lord. He's going to smell. We're in the Middle East, it's hot. His body started to decompose. They take the stone away on his command. And Christ shouts, Lazarus, come forth. And out comes this figure, still wrapped hands and feet in the grave cloths. And Jesus Christ would say, loose him. Let him go. The miracles that Jesus Christ did were never just entertainment. If you read, if some of you are looking down at your Bibles when I quote these things, verse 45. This death of Lazarus, we say, well, what did it accomplish? Verse 45 says this, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. What did this tragic scene accomplish? there were many who came to faith because of Mary and Martha's faith. They called to Jesus Christ. They knew he could make a difference. They were perturbed when their brother still died and Christ hadn't come. But yet Christ would get them to witness of their faith in him. Everyone would hear Martha say, "Lord, I believe my brother will rise again." And Christ could get her to confirm that she believed in him. And this was a great testimony as he raised Lazarus from the dead in his power, his ability. Oh, this afternoon, this evening here at Loham, I do present to you the one true God, the God who made the heavens and the earth and everything in them. I present to you his only begotten, his well-beloved Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells me that no man has seen God at any time. The Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. God manifested his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. "See," the crowd said, "see how he loved him." We just sung, "There is no love like the love of Jesus." Perhaps today you have appreciation of him and you know and understand that love for yourself. Well, in a few moments' time, we'll share a thought and break the bread and take of the cup together. But Christ loved you. You might say, "Well, where's the evidence? The hardships I've been through in my life, the situations I faced. Andrew, how can you tell me that he loves me?" Well, here's an example of two ladies who had a great faith. And yet they still went through this dark and this difficult time. And it glorified God. I don't know what you face. I don't know what hardships you've had in the week or the year behind you. I don't know what you face tomorrow. I'm so glad often God doesn't let us know what we're going to face tomorrow. I'm glad that he just gives us strength for today. And he promises that he will be with us each day, each step that we take if we simply trust him. The hymn writer said, "I know who holds the future. He'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow, with its problems, large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to him my all." And so as we conclude this part of my message this afternoon, whoever lives and believes in Jesus Christ shall never die. Do you believe that? Simple, really. But what hope it gives. And I trust in our hearts, each one of us look at this story and say, "I trust that God for myself. I know him as my Saviour. I've trusted in him. And yes, Andrew, I say yes, and I know that whether I live for 30, 40, 50, 100 years, the lady that I'll be involved in the funeral of was just shy of her 90th birthday. In our church at Millway, we've got another lady who's just celebrated her 96th birthday. Another one who's 105 now. However many days are given to us. Was it Abraham who at 120 said, "Few and evil have been the day of my pilgrimage"? However many years are given to us, do we know that our future is secure? Do we have that assurance that it's just a short introduction to eternity where we will be with Christ forever?